Oh, is the music rolling?
We're rolling. Right,
your wonderful music that you love to put on here. It's got that nice beat and melody, too.
That's it.
Does it ever sing? Is there any words?
No, but we need to bring you in for that.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to come in.
You get me in, baby. I'll add some lyrics to it.
We're going
to
come in and put it, lay a track down.
Well, Kyle, I told you, this is informal, so that is the opening of our show.
Well,
so.
Great.
Thanks for coming in. We went to meet the Bearcats last night, and I have to say, I think that was probably the largest turnout that I've seen for Meet the Bearcats. So we've got some enthusiasm for this upcoming school year football, and I didn't realize that you were going to have, you had football, cross country.
Volleyball.
Swimming.
And diving, band, cheer.
I mean, it was.
It was a lot of people, you know, from the field. Usually, that's the first time I've been on the field of the three Meet the Bearcats. Looking up, you're right. Yeah. It was almost at capacity.
A lot
of parents.
When we walked in and I looked up and I thought, is there something else going on tonight? Or what is this? Of course, then you have our little football guys there. So you've got grandparents that want to take pictures. And that's a good experience, especially those little ones.
It is. And I that's what I said last night, having – it's always a good experience to have young ones and the little kids there, but for the older kids to mingle with them, not just the kids, but also some of the varsity coaches. We're having really great conversations with the youth coaches, which is what you need if you want to grow programs, just not athletically, but just as a school and a community. You know, we're all together, we're all Bearcats. And of course it helps those kids think about the end result. Here's where I want to be in 5, 6, or maybe 2 years. And of course the middle school kids as well, who Coach Turner has been so successful, with that group or his groups down there. Yeah. He, my son played for him the last 2 years. And I tell the story, if I tell my son, to run through that wall, he's going to try to find a way around that wall. But if Turner says run through the wall, then he's going to start running through the wall.
He's one of those guys, as a parent, you can't help but like the guy. And as a player, you can tell that those kids, they'll do anything.
Him. Yeah, he's such a good guy to work for. And all the young coaches he has out there, just the way he coaches them on how to coach kids, it's a great thing he has going on.
And he's successful. That's even better. It's one of these things to say, oh, they're great guys, this, that, and other, if they're 5-5. I mean, the guy wins just about every game that he plays in.
Yeah, so he does.
His method works.
Jacob, do you coach? Do you help any with that? Or
Yes. I mean, I'm the offensive. They like to say I'm the what Will Ferrell say?
The consultant.
I'm the songbird of my generation as far as offensive minds.
Gotcha. Nice.
No, that is not true. But I do coach my little one.
Great.
Okay. Nine U football, you know. It's,
oh, that's fun. That's fun.
Oh, it's serious.
Yeah,
We take it. We're there to win, and they do win. I'll give them that. But it's fun to watch those. Even at that age, there were 7 U's there, which is little bitty fellas. Yeah. And then the 9 U, seeing how they look up to, they'll see the middle school guys and they look up them. But then when they see the Bearcats come out, you can see their eyes light up, and it was cool. Whenever we were walking out on the field, that there was a bunch of the players that would come over there and give them high fives and talk to them. And that was – it's neat. I mean, those little guys get fired up.
Yeah, it's inspirational.
And they'll say, did you see so-and-so? Did you see so-and-so? I got to give Coach Steph a high five. I mean, it's – that's cool. And he was out there working the crowd.
He was.
Doing what he was supposed to do.
And I'm sure a lot of those varsity and older kids came through those same programs. Mm-hmm. You know, and they remember that as well as now that they're in high school, what it was like to be the age of the little league kids.
Oh, I was walking around in that, because we were in that north end zone, and I was walking around and looking, and you see and you recognize the face, but instead of being a little 4-foot 10-year-old, there's these 6'2 giants walking around, and you know it's still the little baby face, but they're almost grown men.
How
did this happen?
That's something I've been impressed with. I know Coach Essman does the strength program, and again, having a son in the program, I can just see it with my own eyes, what they're doing in the weight room. And we were having a discussion recently about injuries, and just having that discussion about, well, that's why what you do in the weight room is so important. You're going to get injured. It's a physical game. It's a contact sport. There's going to be injuries. But if you're taking seriously how you're taking care of your body and what you're doing in the weight room, it's less likely you'll have those injuries. So it's important what they do in there.
It's what we always think of. You got to be explosive. You got to be powerful. But those muscles are insulation for your bones.
Mm, yes.
It strengthens those tendons. I mean, it's just all. It's not just about being able to lay a hit. It's you do protect yourself a lot more the more muscle mass you have. And those... There's one of them that walked by last night, and his legs were so big. And I thought, this is a 16, 17, maybe 18-year-old kid. And I think I'm going to have to call him sir if he comes over here and talks to me.
We weren't that size, were we, in high school? I was not.
You know, every generation says that. These kids, they're built different. Yeah. But I think it's true.
Yeah.
Well, if you go back to my senior year in high school and look at the football program, they had me probably at 5'10", 195. That was never the case. I never got beyond 5'7" and a half. But on the program, I was a really big dude that you'd fear.
Yeah.
But in reality, that wasn't the case.
So that wasn't it.
No.
Well, now you see it and you think, oh, there's no way. And you walk down there. I mean, I'm looking up to the majority of these 16-year-olds.
That's crazy.
Thinking, where did all this come from?
Yeah.
And then, especially when they put their pads on, because whenever when I call the games on Friday nights, I like to get on the sideline and I'll walk the sideline. You feel tiny compared to these guys because, I mean, they're just sitting there. They're big, bulky, but then they've got those shoulder pads and all their pads on. And I just, like, God, I don't want to get in the way of these elephants. They'll run me over. So it's interesting, to say the least.
When you call the games, are you on the field walking the sidelines? Or
Sometimes.
So you can be down there and then you're on air talking to, okay, that's cool. Y'all going to do every game?
I hope.
Okay, great.
As long as we're still allowed to.
Oh, absolutely.
Coleman High School football.
That's important to get it out there. Yeah.
It's one of those that whenever I first started, I really thought that it was just a small little group of people that'd listen, but you'd be surprised the people that would come up. I get one of two things. One that somebody would say, oh, Jimmy Dale was on fire last night, this, that, and other. Or, because my dad did it before me, they'll get, boy, your dad still is – just doing a good job on the radio. All right. Been doing it now for 7 years, but that's okay.
Yeah. But, you know, that is important because not everybody can get there on Friday night. But if people still want to keep up with what's going on with Bearcat football, it's important to have a voice and to hear it. And then you have some people there who are listening to it and watching it. You see that quite frequently as well.
That, you want to talk about nerve-wracking, is whenever you look down in the stands and you see somebody that's got their little earbud in and you think, oh, no. Because radio, the beautiful thing about radio is you paint the picture because people aren't there watching. It's not like doing it on the TV.
Right.
You're painting the picture. When you look down and somebody's watching the game, the same game you are, uh-oh. Because I tell this story on him, and you can't embarrass him. But Jimmy Dale's the best because he keeps stats during this thing. He keeps his own stats. And my job is to fill in the gap while he's writing down the stats.
Oh, yeah.
So it's pretty easy. Mm-hmm. Well, every now and then he'll start writing something down and he has to look at his phone for something and I'll be talking and I'll look over and he's still writing something down while the play's going. And I've got to decide, all right, do I call this play or do I think he's going to come back in? He's the world's best. He'll never look up and he'll just say, oh, that's a rush up the middle. That'd be 3 yards. Jimmy Dale. He just threw a pass down the field for 25 yards.
he studies tendencies. Well, they third and three, they've got to go up the middle
that's
for three.
It. But it's just in his mind, and in his, it never fails. His excuse is, oh, yeah, that's it. Wait a minute. Hold on. What are you going to tell the people what really happened? Never. He'll just move on through. Yeah. And
like
that's
it was
the beauty
nothing.
Of radio.
Yeah, they'll never know. They trust the radio. I think last year, one Friday, I had to go to Virginia for something, and I missed a game. But same thing, I was in Virginia tuning in and listening to what's going on with Bearcat
football.
Well, you
should have let me know. I would have given you a shout-out.
Well, yeah.
No, that is. It's a way to stay connected because I've finally got one in the program in ninth grade coming through. But it keeps you connected because, hey, if you don't have a child there and if you're not involved with the school – you can lose touch. So that's a great way just to be able to keep connected. And I found that that's how a lot of the community stays connected. Mm,
that's right.
Because not everybody can find the time to go to a game. I mean, that's a big to-do, especially nowadays. I mean, there's a lot of people that go to these games. Mm. And it's an easy way for somebody to be able to tune in, still have that connection without having to sacrifice their time to go up there. So it's
– Well, I appreciate what you guys do. It helps us.
Yeah, it's good. It is. We need it.
It's all JB. He's Mr. Bearcat. Mm. So
yeah.
Do we have any high schoolers with like an NIL deal or anything? Is that a thing?
Not in Alabama.
No,
They go to Tennessee or Georgia.
Really? Yeah, so that's happening.
Oh yeah, yeah. We not in Coleman, but I know the gentleman from Buckhorn, Mr. Basketball.
Okay.
I think he went to Georgia, and another guy from Buckhorn went to Nashville.
So they transferred off.
They go out of state so they can get the NIL money.
Wow.
Oh, did they lose two off?
I believe three of them have left that team.
That's the team that's beat us in Wallace in the Elite Eight.
And they're back-to-back state champions.
So they're gone.
One of them has gone to Georgia, and then there's another younger kid on that team that went to a school in Nashville.
Oh, there we go.
So I do think, and again, I try to stay away from the Alabama Athletic Association, but I do think there will be some pressure if you're losing kids. You would imagine there's going to be some type of pressure legislatively. How do you handle that? And, you know, we can. That's probably another whole nother show on what that is or isn't doing to high school or college athletics.
Right.
But, you know, it's almost like the lottery. You know, they do it all around us, but we don't do it in Alabama. Yeah. But we go to the other places and buy tickets, it seems like. So I'm sure that'll be a hot topic coming up.
Oh, yeah. I've got some strong thoughts that I won't get into. But that's going to be miserable for you to have to navigate those waters.
Yeah.
Because you know very well, if they decide to go in that direction, it's going to be vague, just – well, you can do this, then you're going to have to sift through and see what you can or can't do and then hope that they don't penalize you.
And I will say, and again, I don't know. I've got a few more years I need to work, but I hope it's not in my lifetime as a superintendent. I hope it's not within the next 10 years. But I know, if you look at where we are facility-wise, it's comfortable. If they're going to look at going somewhere because of facilities, we do such a good job in Coleman with our facilities. But if you just look at the college ranks, you know, what do you have to offer for that athlete? And also on the education side, I mean, we're one of the best school systems in the state. So that part helps. But it's just one more factor to that I don't think we need in education right now.
You've got so many uphill battles that why add another layer can overshadow everything else? Mm-hmm.
You know, I go back to the dominant teams of 1A ball, the Lindens, the Maplesville, those teams that were so dominant. I would hate for those great athletes that came out of there to get pulled to these larger schools. I mean, that was so important. That's all those communities have. I know Sweetwater is another example. That's all they have is that football and that baseball. It's just not a whole lot going on, but the Leroy, another, I can go on forever. Mm-hmm. But those strong high school teams is what makes that community.
Yeah,
and it seems like that would really impact those communities, just losing those athletes.
I would think so.
You're going to get it's going to turn into more college instead of there being a bunch of smaller independent schools that have success. It's going to turn into the big,
The Big 12 or the Big 10.
Power Five is what I'm trying to think of. It's just going to consolidate the power now to basically where it's the SEC and the Big 10 have all the power, and that's. So then your 7A schools in Alabama, they'll do a new classification where they're now going to be 7AA, and they're going to be the big boys, and that's where everybody's going to go. But I'd heard that guy from Buckhorn had left, so that's –
Yeah,
I do blame him that we don't have two more state championships.
I mean, I'm sure I don't want to go there because it was tough. But what I think we had a small lead in the Sweet 16. They went on a 27-3 run to close out the first half. And it's like, wow, how did that happen? And he had a lot to do with that.
Yeah. I mean, that was – I've never – the first year, it was a team effort. They battled back and forth and just pulled away. You could tell that he was a big part of it. But we keyed in so hard on him, it left the other guys open. This year, I've never seen a high school kid dominate a basketball game like he – I mean, he was just overwhelming.
He's
more defensively than offense, and he probably had 30 points. You just – you can't contain somebody like that.
No, you can't. I'm sure you were there, but if you remember on the sideline, on this court, Bruce Pearl was sitting. There's a reason Bruce Pearl was there to watch that game.
It was pretty telling. About 2 minutes before the game was over, he got up and he starts – walking over, talking to some Buckhorn people, and just kind of slips out. He was there to watch one guy. Right. He saw what he needed to see, and he got out. Mm. He was actually very – he was personable.
Oh, good.
I really thought he'd slip in, but he stopped. He shook hands. He took pictures with anybody that wanted to.
That's great.
Because he got to walk right in front of us. We were down there where we could call the game.
Yeah.
And it was – I was impressed that he took as much time with everybody as he did.
Yeah, that's good.
And this is coming from an Alabama fan.
Maybe nobody would hear that.
Oh, I just alienated half the people that are watching. But sorry. It's just some things you just got to do. All right, you mentioned it. And this is something I really wanted to, one, give you a lot of credit for, but I want to be able to tell everybody what's going on, facilities.
Oh, yeah.
We've had some major renovations and new projects, and I've got to commend you because there has been talk for 10-plus years of we need to do this, this, and this, and it's like it would get to almost there, and it'd just fizzle out.
Wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's when we were in school, which is 100 years ago.
Yeah, at least.
There was talks of what needed to be done. There was talks of the round building being demolished when I was in school and graduated in 03. So, 21 years ago? They were talking about demolishing that, and it's been something every year. It was basically, it could be unsafe. We need to do something about it. And I got to give you credit. Whenever you get this position, you full steam ahead, start pushing these projects, and
it happened.
I commend you.
Well, yeah. I got to give credit to the board. Those five had a vision, and you know they were. The school board is really not a new school board. We had some veterans on it, but it was a new dynamic with the five of them all serving together. And I think when they hired me, they'd been on for a year, maybe together as a group. But they had a vision, and during the interview process, this is what we want done. This is what we want to maintain our high rigor of who we are in Coleman. But facility wise, here are some things that we really want to see in our first term. And the first term is coming to an end really soon. Mm-hmm. It's almost over. So I have to give him that vision. And then another big part of that is the financial guy in my office to make sure that we're finding, you just can't do that. So if you got to be creative on how do we find these funds, how do we make this happen? And then what's going on in the city of Coleman, it was almost like a perfect storm with the tax revenue had such an increase right after COVID. Mm-hmm. And then that's the sales tax, but the property tax continues to go up. So all those things put together, we put ourselves in a position where we thought we were just going to be able to take on one or two things. We've been able to take on quite a few things in 4 years. You know, the middle school, you know, probably right now is probably the biggest because you see it. You drive drive by it every day, and that was a 3-year project, and we just started the last year of the project by March of 2025. That will be finished. So, of course, the round building, it needed to go, and I hate saying that because I know so many people had so many great memories in that building, but the modern day education is just not suitable for what. Safety wise,
it was time.
It was a cool idea back when it was built, but it quickly was outdated. What? All right. So, let's start with the middle school, just because that I agree with you. That's the one that everybody sees. Mm-hmm. It's right now. It's an inconvenience for traffic, just because it's the way it has to be. But it focuses all your attention to what's going on there. So you still have what I consider the main building. Of the middle school is still there.
That's right.
Is that dedicated to a grade?
Right now it is seventh, but it will be sixth next year because sixth grade's moving next year. And just this summer, you don't see this stuff unless you get in. The main hall on that building was all administrative. Uh-huh. That's now four classrooms. There's no more administrative offices.
Okay.
There's a large corridor that connects the two buildings. All that took place this summer. And we redid all the exterior windows in that building. Just the windows alone makes a huge difference on the look of a building.
Yes.
Now we still have to do, as we're knocking these windows out, no pun intended, we still need to do the cafeteria. Those windows are, you know, they've all been dated, but now you look at it, like they're really dated now because you have these nice windows and you have these dated windows. But the middle school, that building right now, mostly seventh grade and some electives are in there. Those electives will move out when we finish the next phase of the middle school, which will be finished in March of 25. And then that will strictly be for our sixth grade, which there might be some electives in the new building sixth grade goes to. But the research and most of the best practices you see out there is putting those sixth graders together for one more year, maybe not at elementary, but just having them together, and I don't want to say confined, but just still having them together as sixth graders. That's a tough age at 12, 11, 13. Mm-hmm. Instead of going to that middle school into the flow, you're still together a little bit more controlled before you turn into a older student in the middle school.
I've always said that middle school age, if I was going to be a teacher, I would avoid that.
Yeah.
At all costs, because it's just so tough.
It is tough, and what's neat about that, there are some people who would not, and that's where they want to be. They mm-hmm. wouldn't want to be in any other grade level. Those are special teachers.
Yes.
In our middle school, it's one of the best test-wise scores. It's one of the best in the state. Many people don't realize that. When we get our test results back, usually they're right there with Vestavia, Mountain Brook. In some areas, they're ahead of Vestavia, Mountain Brook, and some of the better schools in the state. They do a really good job. We have some really good teachers at that school. One of my administrative experiences back in Mobile was at a middle school, and I loved it. I absolutely loved the kids. It was great. It was a bigger school, and it was a difficult school. It's now closed, but I went there on purpose. But I loved the kids in that age group at that time, and I still love the middle school kids. I have one myself, so.
That might be part of the reason that I might not care for them as much. So I've got one of them, just one that just went through, and one that's coming in. So.
There's a lot going on with them mentally and physically, you have to be patient to be a middle school teacher.
That's not one of my strong suits. Yeah. So that's where that might be why I struggle so much. So. Well, all right, we got the main building, then you've built this beautiful building that I'm assuming it's the focal point of the middle school.
Yeah.
It's where your administration will be.
That's right.
Where they, I guess they'll be forever.
Yeah, the administration is in that building. There's the library. And then we have, everyone's familiar with Tillman Hall at the high school. Mm-hmm. There's a smaller scale Tillman Hall in there. Currently it's been used as a band room. That's a temporary space. But there will be somewhat of a lecture gathering spot for meetings, parent meetings, community meetings that are taking place within the school. But when the second phase, which is what's literally coming out of the ground right now, just to the east, that's where the electives will end up. That's where band and chorus, our shop program will be over there. Family science, computer lab, all of that moves over to that building. Health science.
So that was going to be my next question, because I honestly didn't know what that phase would house. So your classrooms, you've got basically
your core classrooms are there. They're there. The core classrooms are there, but right now they're being used by electives. So we're still tight in there, but once we finish that next phase, we'll move all those electives out and we'll be able to open up a little bit in there. But yes, the core classrooms, are there, but we're sort of squeezing all of our electives into the core classrooms. When the next phase finishes, the electives get their own space and the labs they need. You know, if you're band, you need to have a big area for band. Mm-hmm. And Mr. McCollum does such a great job being flexible with his ag classes, but he doesn't have an ag shop right now. It's all textbook. And he's doing a really good job, but he sees the what it's going to be like. He understands the vision because he was there from day one when we started designing what that lab is. He was a part of the design of what his lab is going to look like. So he sees the vision and he knows, okay, I can get through this one more year and I'll get my lab.
Boy, that's what he's got to keep his eye on that prize. I couldn't imagine being a shop teacher and you're having to just, well, this is the cut you would have made.
Sounds terrible.
I mean,
our injuries are down tremendously.
I bet they are. Yeah. That's the positive side to that.
So, all right, the old gym stays.
Yes, yeah, old gym, which I think is a beautiful building.
It's one of those, if you would have touched a brick in that, you would have community uproar, as you well know.
We didn't touch a brick. No, actually, we did something else you don't see because it's in the inside. We actually installed a lift in that building this summer for students in wheelchairs to get onto the stage. It's all the stuff that goes inside. And also, once you get on that stage, there's another 4 feet, you have to get up to get to the locker room and the bathroom.
That's right.
We installed a ramp.
That.
So there's a lift to get on a stage. And once you're on the stage, there's a ramp to get into the locker rooms and the bathrooms.
I didn't know there's locker rooms back
there.
There
are.
I thought they were below.
No, there's some below also. But the Hayden Falk and his crew worked on that this summer, did a great job. We did that internally, got the lift and the ramp in there.
So let's see. So the gym, the old gym stays, the cafeteria. It, changing windows, repurposing, but it still stays where it is.
That's right.
And then what I still consider the new gym. When was that? When was that?
Yeah,
when
I was there.
Top of your head when that was built?
That was new when probably.
Maybe late 80s?
When I was there, they just finished it. So it would have been like 95, okay. 96,
yeah, I mean, when we went
94,
through, it was still.
94, 95 maybe. Yeah.
So to us, it's still the new gym.
Yeah,
the new
gym. It's
been
new.
There now for 30-something years. All right, let's see. We've covered the middle school. Just what everybody sees. In your time, you've put turf on the softball field, built a very nice complex up there. Were you here for when the baseball field got its first turf?
I was not. The baseball field was finished.
Well, then you had to go through the even worse when they had to redo the
turf. I heard about the sub foundation was the rock was not correct and they had it. Yeah.
So we've re-turfed the baseball. You went through a re-turf on the football field.
That already took place also. So I missed that one. But
I thought you went through. You were here whenever they put the second turf, weren't you?
No, I think it was right before I got here. They took care of that.
Well, sorry.
Yeah,
you would know, not me. I missed that one.
But the softball was one of the first things we did, which is, again, that's a beautiful facility. Just like our baseball, it's a beautiful facility. And then one of our most recent projects that we just finished, but we have not done a ribbon cutting yet, is the soccer complex.
Oh, yeah. That's nice.
It's beautiful.
It is.
And I love the fact it's a standalone, you're not having to share with any other sports. It's their place. And I hate the timing, but sometimes you can't control that type of stuff. But I wish we would have finished it for last year's seniors because we started about this time. Last year, we started having discussions, but it takes a second to get everything approved, to get your plans approved,
right.
Communicating with the state, and then you got weather. If you remember last January, we had the ice storm. We missed a whole 2 weeks, basically, of work on that. But it can't control the weather and the timing, but it's a beautiful facility. And also, just north, I guess that'd be west of that soccer field, we had the extra space, so we put four diamonds in. Some of the feedback we were getting from our baseball and softball coaches that we've got these great fields, but we are fielding four teams and three teams, and we're sharing this field. We'll start practicing at 2:30. We won't finish till 8 o'clock at night. So the concept and the thought was, let's build some diamonds for at least to take infield and get some more reps. To help get the kids as many reps as they can during the season. And I know you've seen, I know that the youth is over there. I'm really proud. I've never seen that before. And I've asked around. Oh, that's a new concept.
Oh, it's cool. It's got, you've got two full-size baseball diamonds catty corner from each other, and then you've got two softball diamonds catty corner from each other. So you could have four practices going on, infield practices. You could have one full, it'd be bigger than an actual softball field, so you could have a full practice.
You could,
softball and baseball, you could get close to having a full practice with just one up. The way you could configure it, got different stops, so you can change the base pass for just different age groups.
That's cool.
It's neat.
It is neat, and the whole idea was for all of our kids and all of our teams to get as many reps as they can during season instead of waiting till 7:30 at night to be able to get on the field,
even
if it's just infield or even if it's just base running. We have a spot where you can get some reps in.
And thank you from somebody that's got little ones that's on a bunch of this turf. You can go to some, and I won't name specifics. There's differences in turf.
Yeah.
And you got to, I know it costs more money, but you got good quality turf that acts more like a natural field than, because you can get some of them, it's like a trampoline.
You're right.
You hit a baseball, softball, and it springs.
That's dangerous. When you're used to fielding a ball and so many reps, and all of a sudden you have a different surface, especially when that reaction time is not quite where you want it to be, that can be dangerous.
Oh, there's a difference in grass and turf. The ball will, most of the time, it skips off turf, no matter if what kind it is. It's just it doesn't have that thud. But you get on some of those, and there's a difference. If Michael, have you walked out on any of this new turf?
I have not the new ones. I haven't.
It is, it's neat. It's like it's got little grass fibers, and you can see the individual.
Really?
When you think of turf, you think of the hard woven.
Yeah, that's what I think of when you say it.
No, this is.
There's some, check it out.
There's
I'll
some studies that
it,
say
yeah.
it's more safe than just the grass.
Yeah. You know, really?
It's not the old Astrodome.
Right, right, yeah.
What you think of. Those days are gone. It's really good, safe stuff.
The only negative about any of the good quality turf is when you go out there in your tennis shoes and you come home at night, you will dump out hundreds of these little rubber pellets. That's the filler that they put in there.
Yeah.
They will get everywhere. Yeah.
They are everywhere.
When we kids get sweaty playing football, mm-hmm. and they'll go to a tackle and they'll get up and their arms will just have just pellets all down the back of it.
Yeah, in on the horizon in the far, you know, still talking about athletics. I might be taking your question. Is the track? We got to resurface the track. We were close to pulling that trigger this year, but. It just took too long, and we didn't want to start a football season with a tore up track. So as soon as we finish the state track meet, we're going to address that, get the track looking nice. It's a really good track, but it's time to be resurfaced.
Just resurfaced? Do you increase any size or
no,
anything?
No, it's going to be same resurfaced? Size. Resurface, reline, give it a fresh look.
Because those, it's supposed to last, 10 years?
I think it's 8 to 10 years, on that.
So you've gotten the life out of it. It's
holding up. And then, you know, we need to start having, and we're having informal conversations about tennis courts. That's still a shared facility, which all of our facilities are shared with the city, but that's something that we've heard from some really strong tennis parents, which we love. That's not a bad thing. We like to hear from our parents.
You're talking to two Coleman tennis legends right
well,
here,
Well, there
too.
You go.
I like the fact that you put in legends there.
So for a small amount, we can name a court after you.
For a small amount.
And we'll get this
for
taken
a nominal
care
fee.
I wasn't that
later.
Good.
He really was. But that's always – there's – for some reason, those tennis courts have always just been that point of contention, and I can't tell you why. It's not from the city. It's not from the school system. It's just always been a back and forth because it's always been a real undefined line on whose responsibility are those tennis courts.
Well, and so one of those things before we started all this construction there's so many things behind the scenes. There's so many things before we started construction that had to take place that many people said, well, that won't happen. One is the Warnke property. Well, if you don't have that property, won't have a road to the primary, mm-hmm. and that's not going to happen. And then so many things like that. But another big thing was an agreement with the city, our facilities. Some of our property was owned by the city, some was owned by us, and it was just, we had to come up with an agreement. Okay, let's make sure we deed all of our properties correctly so we do this right from the get-go.
Yeah.
And that doesn't take place unless you have a strong partnership with the city. The mayor and the council agreed with the board, hey, let's do this, let's get on the same page. Just all those things that you don't think about, but if you don't do that, you'll never start building anything. So we were able to do that. But tennis courts is one of them. If I remember correctly, two of the courts, maybe two and a half of them, belong to the school board as far as property. But the others, well, we need to get that right. We need to make sure we're all on the same page and have the same purpose.
I'm telling you, for some reason, and it's something you would think would be easily rectified. And I truly believe with everything you've accomplished that you can do it no problem. But gosh, ever since we were there, it was always just a struggle. So there used to be an open pavilion at the tennis courts, and then I can't remember who. I mean, it was a big deal that now the little building that's up there that was put in.
Oh, okay.
And that's the last thing that's been done. So,
yeah, it's they need to be updated. But I think everybody realizes that. I think from Nathan and Park and Rec and from the mayor and the city council and the school board, we all know that. We've got so many great things in this city, especially in the downtown, far as being built all the way through the middle school and the Depot Park. You know, we need to make sure it all looks uniform and nice mm-hmm. for our folks to use.
You talked about the Warnke property, so now let's move to the primary. The primary itself didn't have to have any construction needs.
The existing building?
Yes.
It did not have to. We did some stuff in there. Well, it did because there was no cafeteria.
Okay, that's
right. So we had to take three or four classrooms that were being used as a cafeteria And we actually turned those back to classrooms.
Good.
So that took place. There was a few other rooms in that building that we were able to convert into classrooms. Not many. But no, most of the work there obviously was the new wing and the new cafeteria and gym. And again, some of the stuff behind the scenes, this summer we spent a large amount of time redoing the entire fire alarm system. That's one of those expenditures that you have to do, but nobody ever sees it. Yeah. It's right. Literally above the ceiling.
Yeah.
But we did the close, the final walkthrough and state closing on that, I think last week. It might have been the day before open house, maybe the day after open house.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
It's not like you don't have anything going on.
Ceiling tiles were still out during open house.
Oh, yeah.
But the parents understood. Listen, there's a brand new fire alarm system in here.
Well, you say you don't see it, but it's something that you definitely want
to place.
You have
to do it, yeah. And where did that $500,000 go? You know, well, you don't see it, but I promise you, above those ceiling tiles, there's a brand new fire alarm system that you certainly want.
So moving from there, talked about the cafeteria. So now talk about the new construction that's at the primary location.
So the cafeteria and the multi-purpose building, again, that the old, if you knew the primary school, the old gym, very small space, not a lot of room to spread out. There really was no gathering space for the faculty. So this multi-purpose building, a room, serves as a PE space, but it's also a place where we can have parent events, and there have already been quite a few of them, and faculty meetings, or if it's, we can even have a system-wide faculty meeting if we want to. The space is big enough for that. Cafeteria is amazing. The kitchen's the best kitchen, obviously, in our school system. Brand new kitchen for that cafeteria staff. And then we had the second grade wing that we added, and half of that wing serves as a storm shelter, you know, which is...
It is.
And that's you have to do that. That's something that, you know, not that we wouldn't want to ever do it, but yeah, half of that wing, I would say the south part of that wing serves as a storm shelter.
So, I mean, it's underground or just reinforced?
No, just reinforced.
Okay.
It can hold up to a certain speed of wind, strength of wind. So that was done. And we didn't stop there. We're even further east. We actually this summer installed a playground. So if you go beyond that new building, we're almost to the dog pound. That's how far the animal shelter. That's how far we're.
I didn't realize that.
There, if you go beyond the building, there is a. We just finished a playground. We fenced in a huge area to eventually develop a green space for field day. So yeah, we've done a lot there. We put in some three different electrical gates that are lifting to keep the campus secure during the day. As well, and of course, the I'm not sure if we've named that street yet, but the street that goes through Warnke's property
for a small price.
Yes,
you could have the name.
But that really
Mullins Drive.
It's a beautiful little road. If you've ever taken it, walked it, or driven it, it's a beautiful road. It goes down a hill next to the cow field,
and that's it, again. I want to give credit where credit's due. That has been a talking point for years about how there was just one access point into the primary school location. You were able to work with the city, get that road put in, and now it's for a safety concern, that's so much better that you
it
have.
It is. You
2 points.
Even if you had, right now there's just over 700 students at that school, so there's a lot of kids there. But if you had 20 of them there, it's difficult to have one way in, one way out. I mean, that's not the safest way of doing things. And again, things change. When they designed and built that in the early 90s, that was okay, but things have changed. And a lot of credit goes to the Warnke family for just working with us and coming up with a deal. It wasn't just Mr. Warnke, who was great to work with, but he had some nieces and nephews that were part owners of that property. Mm-hmm. And because they all had a piece of it, they all had to be on the same page. That took a while. To get there, but we did. We got there, and Mr. Warnke was able to keep his cattle and keep enough of his field that he was able to still do what he needed to do, and we were to get enough of it to put the road in.
It's nice when the community really wants to be a community and everybody works together. And hey, they deserve whatever they feel like that property's worth, but to be able to work, because they could have said, oh no, we know that the school system needs this, so that's we're going to ask X amount, which would be unreasonable. They just said, hey, let's work together for the betterment of the whole community. and get this thing done. And that's everybody that worked on that project.
Yeah, it
deserves praise.
Yeah, you're right. It was, and we actually, that's something we, Brad Wilson, a local attorney, helped us out a lot on that too. I mean, that as a superintendent, we're not really into the land acquisition business. There's not a course in superintendent school where they teach you that. So you need to rely on some really good attorneys. And a local attorney, real estate attorney that are just an attorney that our board hooked us up with that was real instrumental, not just on that property, but the other acquisitions that were around the middle school. There were three or four acquisitions that had to take place in order for that to take place, right there on Oak and Second Street.
All right, so you're pre-K, kindergarten, first and second grader at the primary location.
That's right.
All right, east and west. Gosh, I keep hitting this microphone. East and west has third, fourth, and fifth?
And sixth, currently sixth. This is the last year sixth grade will be at those on those campuses.
So sixth grade is still
there. They're still there, one more year.
Yeah. So now 7 and 8 is at middle school, and then 9 through 12 is at the high school. What will next year look like?
Next year, east, we'll still have the pre-K through second at the primary school.
Okay.
East and west will just have 3rd, 4th, and 6th at both locations.
Okay.
And then the middle school will be 6 through 8, 6, 7, 8, and the high school will be 9 through 12.
I'm putting you on the spot here.
It's all right.
Is there ever a point in time to where 3rd, 4th, and 5th graders come together all the way, or will east and west always be east and west? Now,
where have you been, Jacob? Yes, there's a point in time. I'm sorry, I put you on the point. Yes, it's coming. That's coming. Yeah. So, good question. So.
After I'm chastised, it's a good question. There he is.
So about a year ago, you're busy. You're a busy man. I get that.
Apparently, I've missed a lot. That.
So about a year ago, the board agreed to form Coleman Intermediate School.
Okay.
So that was in August at a board meeting at West Elementary. We had an architect come in and do a facility study and say, listen, we want to combine 3rd, 4th, and 5th, we've got two campuses. We have East and West.
Yep.
Come do a study. Where would this best be situated? They did the study. They came to the board, and I think it was August of last year, and they said, you need to do this at West Elementary. You're sort of landlocked at East. There's not a whole lot you can do at East. So you need to do it at West. The concept at that time of the board, whatever campus you don't choose, which was East, they did not choose East, we're going to move our pre-K to there. So down the road, that East Elementary will serve all of our pre-K, our 3- and 4-year-olds. Right now, we're limited on space, so we only serve just over 100 3- and 4-year-olds. If we average 250 per grade level, then I want to make sure we're serving 250 pre-K kids also.
Yeah, that's so you get them important. In before kindergarten.
That's right. Okay. And so that all moves. So to answer your question, yes, there's going to be a combination of East and West. And we're opening bids on this because it's about estimated about a $20 million construction project, which will take place at West, which includes new buildings and renovation of existing buildings. We open bids in about a month, and we anticipate breaking ground in January of 25 on that. And it's going to be everything you've seen at the middle school when you're building buildings and you're having school. It's the same process, the same 3-year process over again. So right when we finish the middle school's 3-year process, we're going to start the same thing at West and build Coleman Intermediate School.
Okay. All right.
There you go.
All right. Yeah. All right.
It's going to be a beautiful building. Two new buildings and a renovation of existing buildings. There will be a two-story building. Believe it or not, it's hard to imagine this, but in front of the current building, in between the 278 and the current building, there will be a two-story building it's the same architect that built the middle school, so we're keeping that same design, that same look.
Gosh, I do feel stupid.
It's all right.
I've seen that drawing.
There's a lot.
Sometimes
I feel the same way. I was like, okay, now which construction meeting are we going to today? I get it. You can ask the people in my office. Oh, man, there's a lot going on. And then there's also going to be a gym that will serve as the storm shelter. Brand new gym, and then we're taking the existing gym and we're making it into a huge STEM lab. All STEM, robotics, makerspace, all the things you think STEM will take place, drones, you name it. And we're going to try to give it a STEM theme. Though STEM education we've done, I feel like we've done a really good job in the last 2 years just making that an emphasis and a point, a K-12 connection on let's start in kindergarten, getting them interested in STEM all the way to high school, where we've in the last 2 years, we've introduced cybersecurity, engineering. Our agriculture program is shifting to animal science. Our health science has always been good. But all that is nice. But if you don't start in kindergarten first and all the way through elementary with some type of concept of problem solving, decision making, you know, STEM concept, no one's going to want to take those classes. Mm-hmm. So that was intentionally done to design the curriculum. But now we need to follow up with some facilities. And again, that goes back to the board. You know, they didn't really say what and how. They said, we want to see a STEM. We want to see more STEM in this school system. You know, and my job is to take that vision and make it a reality. But and I always say, that's easy to say, but the rubber meets the road, not in my office, it's in the classroom. But our teachers have been so strong and just so accommodating and flexible and changing some of the way the things they do to make sure we are incorporating STEM into what we do in the classroom. But anyway, so yes, Coleman, to answer your question, we are going to combine them.
There it is.
And I think once we start that, it's going to take about 3 years to finish that project. But I will know by October 17th, we should approve bids. And usually in those bids will be some type of a timeline on what it's going to take to do the work.
Very cool.
Yeah, I do. I've seen that proposed. I thought, but that's also one of those, I put you on the spot not meaning to,
nope.
But that's been talked about but for so
it
long.
But Jacob, it was a year ago. Well, I mean, a lot has happened in the last year, but it was a year ago that we introduced and showed these designs.
Yeah.
And behind the scenes, we've been working real hard, but out front, you don't really see. Okay, I remember they said something about, but we've been in the design phase with the architects and we're about ready to do the bids.
That, you don't have to answer this, but that had to be one of your biggest hurdles is, I went to West.
Yeah.
Or I went to East, and I won't. But it's never. And I understand the space issue. That's what caused it. But it never made sense that once we built the primary school, which happened when we were, gosh, young. Anyway, because it used to be that West and East, you went K through five, mm-hmm. then 6, 7, 8, the middle school. Whenever we were in school, when we built the primary school, you get all these kids together. And then you split them.
Yeah.
And then you bring them back together at the worst
yeah.
possible time when all the hormones are starting to rage. And that's just, it never made sense. Why not have them together except for you just didn't have space to do it. But then you get into the old, well, I went here and I want my kid to go here. And that's just,
it
I commend you
it
for being able to get over that hurdle.
So a couple of things. One, and again, timing is everything. It was time for us to have a new strategic plan in our school system. The one we had was anytime your strategic plan gets 5 or 6 years old, you need to update it. So we went through that process. Well, part of that process is having community meetings and getting input. What do you want to see? Where do you want us to go in the next 5 to 7 years? And through those community meetings, the feedback we were getting was to have a comprehensive 3 through 5 school instead of 2 different schools. So that data helped out a lot with the decision making. And then, of course, having the facility studies helped out. Also important to this board is to make sure that we don't neglect East. You still have a beautiful historic building that we need kids in that building, which again, another part of that strategic plan was expand what we're doing in preschool. Why are we capping? You know, we're capping because of space, but expand. So it worked out again perfectly. We have this great, beautiful facility. We can move our pre-K operations over there, continue to grow that program, still use all of our campuses and then have our 3 through 5. I do worry, and I have had conversations with some citizens on the east side of town about, listen, this, you know, we moved here because of this school, and I get it, and I understand, but at the same time, I hate to say it's a business decision because that's a terrible way of saying it, but it's a business decision. You're growing as a community. We're not going to go buy a piece of property and build an intermediate school. We have facilities as it is. So that's the direction we're going, and I think when it's over and you see the facility in the building, it's going to be a lot like the middle school. It's a beautiful facility that you want to be excited to be a part of and be in.
I thought about this the other day, and I really don't know the answer to this question. Is Coleman unique in the fact that the campuses are so spread out? Are most systems now going to where it's everything is centralized? Like it would be, everything would be towards the high school and the middle school, including elementaries, because you've got one on the east side of town, you've got one on the west side of town. Is that unique or is that?
It's not. It varies. And I like Russellville, I understand. A friend of mine is a former superintendent, and he was here recently riding around town with me, and he said they're all together. But then I go back to my time in Demopolis, and they were spread out in Demopolis. But it was one feeder pattern. You had, instead of schools that served the same grade levels, it was all together. But most city systems that I've seen, there's a little bit of spread in them. And really for traffic and city society, you want to spread a little bit. You don't want them all together as the city grows. What we're doing far as construction on what would be the Northeast, which is middle school, high school, primary school, I do think that is neat, unique and neat, because it's when it's over with, it's almost like one big campus, you know, with three different schools. We're doing something with signage. We call it wayfinding in the security building world with our schools, not just on campus, but around campuses. Obviously for visitors, but also for first responders, you know, when they get to these three campuses and know exactly where they need to go if something were to happen. But I think of a college when I think of that, and I think of, you know, my time at South Alabama. You know, there were multiple colleges and colleges on this one university, but it was one big, huge campus. And I think when it's over with, when we finish our work at the middle school, and we actually have more work at the high school to do, believe it or not, but that's what the feel is going to be there. But we're still going to have our intermediate school on the west side of town.
And that's, I don't know why, that's just, I think some of the local systems, Hartsell kind of went to where they moved everything to one centralized location. I didn't know if that was the way of the future or if it was, if we were always the outlier having school systems spread out. I don't know. I agree with you, traffic.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, your schools do a wonderful job of the traffic flow, because it could be a mess.
It could be. And thank you. And again, that's a collaboration with the police department. Our administrators obviously, you know, handle it. And knock on wood, this has been very smooth. There's been just a few small hiccups the first 3 days of school. But even today was the first day at the primary school where the kindergarten boys and girls were there at the same time.
I remember those days.
Yeah, that right. So I got a text this morning at 8:06 and carpool or drop off was finished. It wasn't that way last year, but also rained the first 3 days of school last year. If y'all remember, it was terrible. But it's been smooth. Outside of the heat the first day at the primary school, because we have so many adults on duty, and just like me, I'm not in teaching shape. I've been off all summer, maybe as a teacher, but you get out there getting in the role of things. Some of our staff get overheated, but it's cooled down a little bit. I know it's not cool, but it's not as hot as it was that first day.
It's cooled down to about 91.
Yeah, it's not 97. And it is a big difference when you're standing outside. But yeah, the flow has been good so far, and we're happy about that. Even with 4th Street still being closed, and that's a headache for everybody. But hang in there. You know, we'll get it back open as soon as we can.
And it sounds like it's coming sooner than I thought it would. So that's a good thing. But that's, hey, you got to go through all these little bumps if you want to.
Yeah.
If you want to prosper and get to a better situation. So that's, now I'll be the first one that'll gripe, but I try to keep that gripe down to just a low mumble.
Well, one thing that, and I don't know if this is good or bad. I'm not sure. Maybe it's good as a superintendent, but having kids in the system and literally going through carpool. I mean, I dropped my child off at the middle school. I know.
Right? You're one of us.
I want to take a right and go down 4th and get back to Oak too, but I can't. Yeah. I got to take a left, you know, so I get it. And I got to be at work also, you know, so all that stuff. You get to work when you want to. No, I need to be at work. There's a time I need to be there also.
Yeah, I get a few of those. You get there when you want
to. Yeah, yeah.
Do you get aggressive in car line?
No. I'm not.
Have you seen some that do?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have. Really not here.
Yeah.
I think it was, might have been Chickasaw years ago. We had to have one arrested.
A car line.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Has there been any fights in car line here?
I haven't seen any. people here are pretty good. They respect that safety of kids is what it's all about.
Priority number one, right?
Yeah, it should be, and they should be. If I remember Chickasaw, we had a grandmother.
This is getting better.
That makes the story even better.
It was pretty interesting. And we had an SRO who was good, but he had little patients. I just remember pulling up and cars were all backed up. And I'm like, what's going on? And it's like, well, Officer So-and-so just arrested a lady. We're trying to get her car moved.
Oh, man.
I'm like, okay. Oh. All right. But you know what? That was the last time we had a problem in carpool.
Oh, they did. That. He's took gonna arrest time. Granny. He'll arrest anybody.
Set the example with Granny. Yeah.
All right. I've kept you way too long, but I know that Michael has got some kind of weird question in store for him. He loves to throw this in. So.
I've got a couple. That was kind of one of them, though. Your drive. We're always interested in our guests' driving habits.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a patient driver.
You are.
My wife says I'm like an old man. Sometimes I go fast. Most of the time, I'm pretty slow.
Pretty slow. Yeah, very patient. You get the tailgaters then.
Yeah, and
how do you handle that? What do you?
With kindness.
Wow.
Yeah.
What?
With kindness.
Look at this.
Yeah.
That's how I handle my
You are
my
way better than me.
I'm not going to let them get there's too many things in this world to get upset about. Yeah. I'm not going to let that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll pull over. You know,
sure,
I'll be like the guy on the John Deere. Let me just pull over and let these cars go by. I'm not going to get upset.
From a left lane driver, thank you. I would just like to say thank
from
you.
From a tailgater.
I said left lane driver. I didn't say tailgater.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. This is the last one. It's date night. What do y'all do? Do you have like a places you like to go? Do you get out of town?
Well, first of all, date night has to be on a Saturday because we're educators and we're asleep by 8:30 on Friday.
Right.
And it's sad. We've tried Friday night date nights and
you need to rest.
It doesn't work. We're barely awake. Either a nice restaurant here in town.
Yeah.
You know, Allstate, something like that. Or we'll go to Huntsville. Or we'll go down. We have friends that live in Hoover, real good friends that have been there for years. We'll go hang out with them and do something.
Yeah, it sounds like us. I think it's pretty normal. We like to get out and.
Except I don't ever go anywhere.
We don't have a chance. Yeah, when you have a chance.
I mean, I'm glad that you actually make time to do it.
Yeah. Well,
Holly's
going to
see this and say, yeah.
Hold it.
It's about time.
Don't put me on a pedestal because there's a lot of room for improvement. I promise you. Don't. I don't want to outkick my coverage here. There's a lot of room for improvement on that.
Not to put you on the spot, but we're always curious, you know, just to get to know you and your family. It's good.
Yeah. I love my job. There's a reason I do what I do, and I'm happy I do what I do. But sometimes you want to get so far away to where you can just not worry about work.
Absolutely.
Not worry about, you know, because if someone walks up to me, hey, Mr. Koloff, and really it's usually my wife who's a teacher. The kids will come to her, and I act like they're coming to see me. Then I get let down. Oh, it's not me, it's her. And she loves it, and we love it. But sometimes we don't want that.
Absolutely.
You know, so we'll get as far as we can. There used to be a rule with superintendents, 100-mile radius. So that's too far. I'm not going to go 100 miles. Yeah. But being so close to Huntsville and Birmingham, you can get away.
Get away and relax.
You can blend in.
Yeah.
Hey, I get it. That's
right.
If you are in town, you always have to be on.
Yeah.
It's just. Yeah,
you get it with your position.
And no matter how much you enjoy it, every now and then you just want to be able to just
get away.
Kind of.
Yeah.
And that's, I like to do that at home. I don't like to have to go anywhere. So Holly gets mad at me constantly for being a homebody. So
I understand.
It's just the way it's going to be for a little while. Yeah. We run around. We spend all of our downtime at kids' activities.
Yeah, that's how we are. And I this year with a ninth grade cheerleader, a senior cheerleader, seventh grade cheerleader, ninth grade football player, and a senior cheerleader. It literally is three nights a week. So our eating out budget just doubled. That we're going to be at some type of event, which is fine. You'll never get this time back. You know,
I have to remind myself of what you just said all the time because it's just there's days you think, what am I doing? But then, you know, I also get to think about what would I be doing if I wasn't doing this?
Yeah, that's
I'd be bored to tears.
Mm. Exactly.
So it's like you said, just embrace it and appreciate the time. I want you to come back because I've kept you on facilities the whole time. So I want you to come back and tell us about curriculum and other things going on. So I appreciate you spending as much time, kept you longer than than probably what you had envisioned. So
I'm happy to be here. I'm glad you guys contacted me. This is, I love doing this. I love spreading the good news of what we're doing in our school system. We have wonderful kids. You know, I thought about saying this last night at Bearcat, meet the Bearcats. I didn't want to bore people, but when you have one of the best school systems in the state, which we do, there's three factors that go into that. One, students. You need to have really good students, which we do. Two, you need to have really good employees, which we do. The third is the families. We serve some really strong, great families. Mm-hmm. But if you're missing any part of that tripod, you're just going to be a typical school system. But it is it's a really great place to be a superintendent. But our schools are good, not because of something I'm doing or a board. They're good because of those three ingredients. You have great students, great families who are going to support you, and we have some really amazing teachers and administrators in our system.
I agree with you. It's like a stew, but you still got to have somebody to stir that pot to make it good, and I appreciate what you're doing. And it's just, again, all we've talked about is mainly is facilities today, and I know you've got a lot of other things going on, but thank you for your guidance and your leadership within the school system. Because as a parent that has them in there, it's very important to me personally, and just I love the fact that my kids get to say that they go to Coleman City Schools.
Great. Well, thank you for
what you do. So, with that being said, like I said, kept him way too long. Did you just turn on that music? Nobody wants. They want to hear my voice, not that whatever you made up.
It's an additive to your outro.
Yeah, in a sec, I'm gonna start. I'll put on those headphones here in a second and start singing. So, again, Kyle, thank you very much, and look forward to you coming back.
Yep, thank you.
Thanks. Anytime. Good to see you.
You too, Mark. Thank you.